today, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. I'll begin reading with verse 54. Luke, chapter 22, verse number 54. Before I begin reading, thank you, Brother Jeffrey, for the invitation to come. And I appreciate you and Pastor Moore putting confidence in us and allowing us to come and having this meeting. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. I appreciate the good preaching we've already heard this morning. Thank you, Brother Tally. What a blessing. Thank the Lord for using you this morning. Enjoyed the good singing. It's been a blessing to our heart. Good to see each one of you that are here this morning. I'd ask you humbly to pray for us, that the Lord would touch us and help us this morning, that we might say what He'd have to be said. Luke chapter 22, verse number 54. The Bible reads like this: "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. After a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. About the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Father, I thank you for the reading of the Word of God today. I thank you for preserving your Word to this generation. And I thank you for the portion you've directed my heart to. We're grateful for what you've already done in the service this morning, for the Word of God that's already been preached, that, Lord, brought encouragement and strength to our life, for the songs that have encouraged us, the testimonies, the prayers. I thank you now, Lord, for this open door and opportunity. Have mercy on me now as I endeavor to preach. Lord, I pray you cleanse me and purge me from anything and everything that would hinder the working of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, you'd forgive me and cleanse me. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd hide me in the cross and let me lose sight of myself. I pray you'd immerse my heart, mind, and spirit in your word, will, and ways. Give us unction and utterance. Let us preach as the very oracles of God. May the people not see me but see you. Lord, may they not hear me but hear you, Lord. I pray you that let the Word of God go forth from our lips in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. May they find lodging in our lives. Oh God, may sinners today be convicted and converted. May the saints be, Lord, encouraged and revived. Speak to us and do for us what only you can do. I pray we can leave this place encouraged and strengthened, revived, refreshed, and renewed. I pray above everything that's accomplished today that you'd get glory unto your high and holy name. Lord, what you're pleased to do in, through, and for us, I thank you and praise you, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're familiar with the text that we've read this morning is the denial of Peter of his Lord. Peter had affirmed in verse number 33 of this same chapter, chapter 22, he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both in prison and to death. But something happened to the resolve, to the determination that Peter had. For when we get to verse number 60, the Bible said, For the third time, Peter said, I know not what thou sayest. Don't know this man. He denied the Lord. He did that he said that he would not do. So how did he get from that place of resolve, that place of determination, that place of expressing such faith and confidence that he would be willing to go to prison with the Lord if necessary and to die with him, and yet now, for the third time, having denied him? I think the answer is here in our text this morning, for the Bible tells us in verse number 54 that Peter, the first reason I believe
not that he denied his Lord. It was because he followed afar off. I'm glad this morning to be a follower of the Lord. And Peter was a follower. I'm glad the Lord spoke to him and invited him to follow him. That is the greatest invitation that any of us will ever receive, is the Lord would invite us to follow him. Amen. The Bible tells us in Matthew 4 and 19 that the Lord found Simon Peter there, my friend, by the Sea of Galilee, and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Peter was invited by the Lord of glory to follow him. I'm thankful of that night, that day the Lord invited me to be one of his followers, to be one of his disciples this morning. What a blessing it is. In Peter's instance and in Peter's life here is this man that is a common fisherman. And the rabbis in the Jewish, my friend, setting would often pick out a young man and say to him, if he deemed him worthy, if he deemed him, my friend, of intellect and maybe, my friend, ability to be a taught in the doctrine and the law, my friend, he would say, follow me. But Peter, like those that were with him that day, had been left out, my friend, from the religious hierarchy, saying, follow me, and were left to be just common fishermen. But now, here is the Lord Jesus. Here is the carpenter's son. And he walks by and says, follow me. And though he was not a Jewish rabbi in the sense, my friend, that he was there taught and raised up under, my friend, the teachers of that day, yet he was the Son of God. Yet he was the Master and the Teacher. And he had a right to say, to Peter, follow me. Amen. Aren't you glad that he didn't just choose the rich? That he didn't just choose the educated? That he didn't just choose the ones that the world deems is worthy to be called to follow him? But I'm glad he's revealed this truth unto babes. And I'm glad to be one that he's invited to follow him. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, you see your calling, brethren. It's not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things to confound the things which are mighty. And God hath chosen base things of the world, and things which are despised, yea, and things which are not, my friend, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'm glad he takes the are nots and makes something out of them. Amen. I'm glad he takes ain'ts and makes saints out of them. Amen. I'm glad how we've been invited, though our station in life might not be what others would deem worthy to follow him. And glad of that day he came to where I was at and invited me to be his disciple. Are you a follower this morning? There must be a place, a point and a time in your life that you heard the voice of God as he invited you to follow him. And I'm grateful for that time. And oh, today, if this would be the day that you would hear his voice, then heart harden not your heart. If this would be the day that you would hear him say to you, follow me, then would you follow him this morning? Peter was a follower. We're not in debate about whether or not Peter is a follower of the Lord. He has been for the past 3 years. He's been following the Lord. My friend, he's going in the right direction. He's headed in the right way. But the problem is, this morning, he has a distance problem. And I wonder this morning, hey God, though our direction may be right, what is our distance this morning? And his direction was right, following the right man, headed in the right way. But he was following far off. Where are you this morning? First of all, are you a follower? Have you heard that voice? Have you heeded that call? Have you accepted that invitation to follow him? May I say to you this morning, Christ is the only one that can lead us from earth to glory. Christ is the only one that can lead us from here to there. But I'm glad that he came from there to here to bring us from here up to there. He came from the Father to lead us back to the Father. And if you follow him, that's the right way this morning. There's multitudes of ways that people express, but there is really one way, just really one way. Thank God to get to God. One way to be saved from sin, and one door, I thank God, to enter in and be saved and find pasture, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him. And you come through him. Are you his follower? If not, would you come? And then this morning, if you are a follower, can I ask you, at what distance are you following this morning? Amen. Somebody said, well, I got my direction. All right. I'm following the right person. I'm following the right individual. I'm on my way to heaven. But there can be a lot of pitfalls we can avoid. And God, there can be a lot of heartaches, my friend, that can be prevented from our lives. There can be a lot of snares that we don't have to get into. Oh, hear me this morning. If we'll follow, I God, not at a distance, but follow close this morning. I God, the old song used to say, I want to walk as close as I possibly can. That ought to be all of our desires this morning. He that did so much for us, he that was kind enough, having mercy and grace to invite us to follow him. We ought to put everything on the line and follow him. We ought to let no distance come between us and him this morning. But we ought to draw nigh to him. Amen. The more distance there is between he and I, and the more distance there is between you and him, and the more can come between you, and the more that can discourage you, the more that can defeat you, the more that can detract you and deter you from being the disciple that the Lord wants you to be. And all the resolve and all the determination and all I might feel the confession, regardless of how bold my friend that it is, falls to the ground when we allow too much distance between us and the Savior. When we follow, go in the right direction, but we follow afar off. Amen. I have been amazed and alarmed. And my friend, in this day, when I first was converted,
and begin to serve the Lord. And most of the saints, or many of the saints in the churches that I attended and preached at, it seemed they had a desire to see how close they could live to God. It seemed they wanted nothing to interfere between them and the Lord. They wanted very little distance, thank God, between them and God. They didn't just have a welfare salvation where they were going to heaven, thank God, and nothing else mattered. They had a desire to be a real disciple. They had a desire to have a holy walk, thank God, and to show forth His glory in their lives. But now as I preach and go to churches and around many saints, I find that many want to see how far away they can walk, amen, and still get a little blessing, amen, still get a little nudge every once in a while, amen. Hey God, they're not interested in what all they can do for God and what they can give up. They're interested in how much they can get away with and still have fellowship and still feel His presence. They want just enough. Hey God, I might be in the stir of up. I got at the meeting house on the weekend. Amen. But they want to follow far off for the rest of the time. And that attitude has caused us to lose our power and the presence of God and the glory of God that we used to have in the house of God. Anybody listen to me? Amen. Thank God. And oh, Peter said, I'll die with you. I'll go to prison with you. But now he's denied him. And those steps of failure, and those steps of denial, amen, didn't just happen right that moment, but they happened because he was walking far off. There was too much distance between him and the Savior. I know we live in a day when there's so much that wants to come between us and our fellowship and our walk with our Savior. But can I encourage you today to put everything aside and let nothing come between you and your Savior, but draw now to Him, move up to Him, amen, and walk as close as you possibly can. Or when you walk at a distance, though you have the right direction, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for denying Him when He needs you the most. And surely in 2012, if the Lord ever needed a church, a people, a group of people, a follower and disciples to stand up and be counted and to be dependable, that's in these last days. God help us to be faithful, to walk close, to draw near, and not walk afar off. Amen. So Peter followed afar off. Amen. Now if we'll walk close to Him, Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. Thank God when we walk with Him, we can have that light. But it's when we are at a distance that things come between us. Secondly, I want to say what brought Peter to this verse or to this place was not only the distance between him and the Savior and the Savior and him, the fact that he followed afar off, but may I say to you in verse 55, it was the fire that he warmed by. Amen. It was the fire that he warmed by. The Bible said when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Amen. The Bible said where there's two together, there's heat. Amen. When we're close to the Lord and we're warmed by His presence, warmed by His power, hey God, we don't need anything else. Amen. Oh yeah. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. When you're full of Him, when you're near to Him, hey God, when you're getting warmth and strength from Him, you'll not look for anywhere else. But let that distance get between you and the Lord, hey God, and the coldness, amen, of the world. And we'll set in and there'll be an attraction to warm by the wrong side. Amen. And Peter warmed by the wrong fire. Amen. May I say to you this morning, it was a fire of comfort. Amen. It was a cold night. They built a fire. It was cold. And so it comforted Peter how to warm up by this fire. Though it was built by the enemies of Christ, and though it was built by those that wanted to see him die, he found comfort because of his cold state of being afar off. Anybody listening to me? Amen. That would not attract us. When we walk hand in hand and arm in arm, we'll all of a sudden be attracted to us when we walk afar off from Him. And just because of comfort, just because we're looking for something to not hold on. Amen. Bless His name. Hallelujah. I'm not far. Thank God, the charismatic crowd in our day. But I believe one reason why the charismatic crowd has exploded in this day is because how many of the churches that people sat in have become so cold and dry and dead that they look for something to sort of warm them up. And though it's the wrong fire and wild fire, they still wanted something. They wanted some excitement. Are y'all hearing me? So they lifted our Baptist churches, our fundamental churches, and gone and followed that crowd, looking for some warmth from the wrong fire. Amen. Oh, thank God. What strange doctrines, thank God. What strange spirits will lure you when you fail to walk close to Him. Amen. Bless His name. And I remind you, thank God, this morning, if anything is more important to you in your walk, I might think, though how religious it may seem, than Christ Himself, it's the wrong fire to warm by. Amen. Amen. Some folks, thank God, have warmed by a fire of comfort in the religious sense. Thank God, they have a dogma and a doctrine. And every time you see them, they're pushing that doctrine. They're pushing that dogma. And everything revolves around whether that particular doctrine is accepted by you. That's all they can talk about. That's all they warm by. Amen. Only one problem with that. Thank God, it takes a person of Christ. Hey, are you hearing me? And Christ alone ought to be the center of our affection. Hallelujah. And a doctrine and a dogma. Thank God. I may make you appeal like a religious intellect, but it'll not speak to your heart. It'll not warm your insides. Thank God, we must walk with Him in order to be satisfied as we go through this world. Amen. Oh, bless His name. Fire of comfort. Even worldly pleasures. Worldly attractions. Amen. Sinful things will allure and attract us when we walk at a distance from our Lord. Amen. And it'll become a fire of comfort. It'll be just a place for us to knock the cold off of us. Amen. Oh, my. But what we need is not outward fire, but inward fire. What we not need is the fire of emotion, our intellectualism, our religion. Thank God, of the fire that the world has to offer, that appeals to the flesh, and that's all some church people are ever interested in. Announce a prayer meeting, they won't show up. Amen. But announce something that appeals to the flesh. Some eating, some recreation, and they'll show up in droves. That just proves what kind of fire they're warming by. Amen. Oh my. Amen. I heard it on tape. I didn't know him personally, but Percy Ray used to say, thank God, and God used him greatly to bring revival fires to the Southeast in his day. And Percy Ray would say, if you want to find out how close your church is to revival, call for a Monday night midnight prayer meeting. Amen. Men's prayer meeting, and see how many show up. And it'll tell you whether there's a fire burning for all time revival. Anybody listening to me tonight? Oh, Lord, help us. Be warm with the fire of comfort. It is a fire of convenience. Amen. The fire was started when he got there. The fire had been built by somebody else. Amen. It is a fire of convenience. He didn't have to build the fire. He didn't have to tote the wood. He just warmed by somebody else's fire. And I'll tell you, you can go from complete dedication and resolve and commitment, thank God, and confession of faith, to denial and failing your Lord, when you begin warming, thank God, by the wrong fire. I might say it in the fire of convenience. The world's always going to be on fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Oh my. But can I say, that fire is like the fire that I've heard my dad talk about, Bill. Thank God when he lived years ago in those houses. Thank God. And my friend being a tenant farmer. Thank God, sharecropper. Thank God, those fire. And my friend, those. And my friend, fireplaces. And the houses. I was so uninsulated. I bet you could have a big fire and warm on one side and freeze on the other. I could knock away the world's fire in. Thank God it'll warm you on the sides you're turned to, but the rest of you's a freezing. Hallelujah. If you want real warmth, draw nigh to Him. Wrap up with Him. Lock your arms around Him. And let Him lock His arms around you. Have complete and perfect fellowship with Him. Amen. The fire of convenience, somebody else. Now, you may be going in the right direction. You may be following Jesus. And you may be coming to church. But if you sit constantly, week in and week out, and warmed by a fire of convenience, you're going to deny your Lord. And some folks come every Sunday, and every Wednesday, and each time in revival. And they're warming by somebody else's fire. They're warming by the preacher's fire. Amen. They're warming by the singer's fire. They're warming by the Sunday school teacher's fire. They're warming by some member of the church that testifies they're warmed by their fire. Are you hearing me this morning? And I know that is partly why we come to church. Thank God to provoke one another out of love and good works and to admonish and exhort one another. Thank God, I know that. But if we consistently and constantly only warm by somebody else's fire and we never have none of our own, if we never kindle the fire in our own lives, if we never bring any wood to put on the fire, and are constantly being a warming at a fire of convenience, stuck the fire that somebody else has prayed and got stirred up about. Hey, I'll tell you, it'll cause us defeat in the long run. Amen. Thank God for the old timers. Amen. That used to come to church. And brother, you didn't have to beg them to testify. And you didn't have to pump and prime them. Hallelujah. But they come ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I knew an old man. He's in glory and his wife is well tonight. I believe he'd come to revival. And I'd love to see him come because he'd help a service. and if there'd be a break somewhere in the service, he'd say, "Pastor, can I testify?" And he'd say, "I want to say, first of all, thank God I've been out in the pine woods today, and I got my dues paid up." Hallelujah. I wondered what he meant. What he meant was he got everything out of the way between him and the Lord. And he didn't bring nothing to church that he needed to pray over and get rid of. Thank God he brought a heart full of fire. He got up to testify. He got up to shout. He got up to praise the Lord. And when he set up his own fire, you didn't have to worry about him. Brother, he brought fire with him. And that's what we need, thank God. It's some men and women, thank God, that can bring fire unto the house of God and the place of worship. Not just one, but somebody else's fire, but bring their own fire to them. You brought any fire to your worship service lately? You brought any fire to your church lately? Have you come in a clawing and a scratching? I thought, can't wait till service starts. And said, "Preacher, I've got to say something. I've been with God this week. I've been with God this morning. I've been with God last night. And He set my soul on fire. And I need to tell you about it." The fire of comfort is a fire of convenience. Amen. Oh my. May I say too, it's a fire of consent. Amen. He didn't say he agreed with those that built the fire. But verse 55 said he sat down with them. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, friend, if you're not careful, what will make you fail your Lord and deny Him? Though you said you'd go to prison and death with Him, what will make you fail Him is when you're warmed by the fire of consent. Amen. Just sit there and keep listening to them jokes on the job. Amen. Oh, you may not be laughing and you may not tell one yourself, but oh, hearing all of that stuff will knock all the resolve out of you. Amen. Sit there and listen to that crowd that says, "Well, I don't know where y'all about where y'all go to church, but over there where we go to church, thank God we don't preach out the King James Bible no more. And we don't worship in the Spirit of God no more." Amen. Thank God. Y'all listen to me. We've took a more modern approach and a liberal approach to the way we worship. And we've decided we don't need that old time way no more. And before you know it, it'll knock all the resolve out of you. Just the fire of consent. Anybody listening to me? Here, Peter sat down and said, "I'm going to prison and death with you." And that crowd got to talking. Thank God. And one of them said, "Well, they finally got that fella from Nazareth. That Jesus of Nazareth. And they're going to do something with him. And I heard how they're going to get all the rest of that crowd up. All of them that's followed him and do the same thing to them." And the more Peter sat there, and the longer he sat there, and the more he heard everything that had been so fresh and full in him at that table, when he said, "Lord, I'll die and I'm going to prison with you." And God was drained from him until they came by and said, "He's one of them." And he kept saying, "Not me. I don't know the man." Amen. Oh my. So Peter was brought to this place simply because he found it far off. It wasn't his direction, it was his distance. It was because of the fire that he won by. And then I want you to notice in verse 60, it culminates. This is the third time, amen, when that man said with confidence, "I know you're one of them. I've seen you with him." Not only do I know you're one of them, he said, "You're a Galilean." The other gospel says your speech betrays you. Amen. You got that Galilean brogue. Amen. You got that Galilean twist. Amen. Thank God to your dialect. You got that Galilean dialect. Amen. Now the gospel said Peter cursed and swore and said, "Hey, I'm telling you, I don't know him." Amen. How could he go from vehemently denying him, from vehemently saying, "I'll die and go to prison"? Not because he was on the wrong path, not because he wasn't following the right person, but he was following afar off, and he stood out by
Amen. Oh, how easy it is when you get in an old-fashioned meeting. Spirit of God's there and the glory of God's there to make commitments, to make vows, how to make promises, how to say things. But I thunder, thank God, when the battle's on. Amen. That's the real test, is it not? Amen. Hallelujah. And so Peter denied him for that third time just like the Lord said he would. And when he did that third time, that old rooster crowed. Amen. And reminded Peter what Jesus had said. And then about that time he looked towards where they had taken Jesus and they was bringing him by. Amen. There where he could see him, and his eyes met Jesus, and Jesus' eyes met Peter. And Peter never seen the Lord look at him like he looked at him. He'd seen the look in Christ's eyes when he drove the money changers out of the temple. He'd seen the look in Christ's eyes when he had compassion on the widow's name as he stopped the coffin and the funeral procession and raised her son. Amen. Hallelujah. He had seen his eyes a lot of times. But oh, he's seen the hurt. He's seen the disappointment in the eyes of Jesus as he looked at him. And oh, you know what the Bible said Peter did? He went out and wept bitterly. I'll remind you this morning, these are the ways to avoid failing. Amen. But I dare say this morning that there's not a one of us that can lift our hand this morning and say, I haven't failed it. I want to confess this morning I'm a follower. And I'm glad to be a follower this morning. I don't want any other way. I don't want anything else. Amen. But though I'm a follower, I have failed. I wish I could say since 13 years old, I've never failed it. But I have. I thought my failures as a teenager was just youth. And then I got married and had children. And I thought, well, that'll take care of my failures. But I found out that even as a married man and a father, I've failed. I thought, my, when I can get the past raising these kids and become a grandfather and get some age on and get some gray and some white in my hat and some more knowledge under my belt, I'll not fail him, but I have. Oh, this morning. Maybe you don't want to hear me preach this morning, but I've failed him. I'm a follower, but I want to say to you this morning, I've failed it. Amen. The man that has not failed is the man that has never tried. Amen. And oh, what do you do? Hey God, these are steps you can take to avoid. But when you do fail, and we fail because the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Do you throw in the towel? Do you say, I won't follow no more? Hey, God, no. Do like Peter did. Just get out and weep bitterly. Just confess it. Just admit it. Amen. Just tell him all about it. Amen. He knows it anyhow. He knew Peter would be here before he got here. That's why he said, I say there's a desire to have you that he might sift you and please, but I prayed for you. And that he knows. Amen. And he loves us in spite of our failure. He loves us in spite of our mistake. He keeps on loving us. Amen. Bless his name. You got just another minute or two. Amen. Not only Peter here. Amen. Here in his failure, here in his, amen, denying here. Hey, God, full of his sin, his mistake. Here doing everything he said he would not do. Here is Peter. Amen. Oh, and he wept bitterly. I'm under the persuasion that he remembered the words of the Lord. And that before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. But that ain't all Jesus said. He didn't just say, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. He said, but Satan is not to have you sift his wheat, but I prayed for you. That thy faith fail thee not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I believe in that moment of failure, Satan came to him and wanted him to do as Judas had done. Take his own life. Look at the hurt in Christ's eyes. You'll never be able to tell him you're sorry. You'll never be able. Hey, God, to be with him like you were before. And can you believe you did what you did? Hey, God. And Peter's weeping bitterly. But I'm glad he remembered what Jesus said. I prayed for you. I'm glad tonight he prays for us in our failure. He didn't wait till Peter prayed. I failed to pray. He prayed before he failed. Anybody listen to me? Somebody said, God sees my mountaintops. God sees. Hey, God, my blessings got turned down. Ain't all He sees. He sees your rough places in the road. Hey, God, He sees your mud holes. Hey, God, your pits. And He prays for you. That word prayed means I have eclipsed thee. I've stood between you and what's bearing down on you. Hey, God, and by hearing the remembering that word, it gave Him courage. Hey, God, to live on for God. Amen. Bless His name. Could he ever get forgiveness? How would he ever speak to him? I mean, Christ is here. The next morning, led away out of Golgotha's hill, there crucified. Peter never gets a chance how to tell him what he wanted to tell him. Amen. I'm glad he found forgiveness. How do we know he found forgiveness? Mark 16:7. Amen. When the women went down to the tomb and the angels were there, they said, go tell the disciples that He's risen from the dead and that He'll go before them in Galilee. But those angels didn't just stop with the disciples. That's better enough. Peter was a disciple. But Mark 16:7 said, they expressly said, tell the disciples and Peter. Hallelujah. What do you tell Peter? Tell him I got up over his thing. Tell him I got up over his sin. Tell him I do forgive him. I tell him, thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God that because I live, he can live. Amen. Oh, bless his name. Thank God the flesh is weak. But I've condemned sin in the flesh. And triumphed over it. And victorious. Well, tell him there's forgiveness.
And there is. There is. And it's in Luke 24:34 that the disciples gathered in the room when the two disciples from Emmaus come in to tell them they seen the Lord on the road to Emmaus and He broke bread with them. Yeah. Amen. That He is risen. That when they burst in in the room to tell them we've seen the Lord and He sat down at our table and broke bread with us, that those disciples tell them before they can tell those gathered there, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon.
Yeah.
It don't just tell Peter, but he said, amen. And the scripture don't say much about it. Peter never referred to it in his epistle. But in Luke 24:34 and in 1 Corinthians 15, we understand that Jesus appeared to Simon Peter after His resurrection. Yeah. Evidently that meeting, thank God, that appearance of Christ to Peter was so intimate, thank God, so special, that Peter said, I can't write to you about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I'll tell you, the most humbling experiences I've ever had with God is not when He laid the last of me because of my disobedience, but it's after I failed Him that He come back to me and loved on me and put His arms around me. That's humbled me and made me more ashamed and feel little than any other time in my life. But I want to thank God. Failure is not final with Him. I'm glad though the flesh is weak. He remembers our frame and He knows that we are but dust. Thank God, and He triumphed over all of that. That would discourage us. Amen. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Well, Luke 23, we see Peter warming by their own fire, saying their own words. And somebody said he washed up. No help for him. Amen. But in Acts chapter 2, he's gathered with the 120 in the upper room. And the Holy Ghost comes as the baptizer that day. Amen. Oh, yeah. And they
You know what takes place there? And then those Jews from the 17 different nations are gathered together and all here in their own tongue the wonderful works of the Lord and words of the Lord. Amen. And some of them say, these men are drunk. That's what's wrong with them. Hallelujah. Oh my. And Peter and the other 11 stood up. And they all stood up, and then when they did, the other 11 stepped back, and Peter was left to the forefront. And he said, men and brethren, these men are not drunk with wine, as you suppose, being the third hour of the day, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he began to preach, and when he got through, 3,000 were saved. Would you ever believe that come, that God cursing and swearing and denying His Lord and warming by the wrong fire, that now we had witnessed Simon Peter standing up before that crowd, and he's on fire. He's full of Holy Ghost fire. Hallelujah. That's His name. Oh, thank God. All because there is forgiveness with our Lord this morning. Amen. Message of the Word of God. The message of the Word of God is a preventive medicine. If we'll take it, it'll prevent us from a lot of things. But yet when we neglect it and in the weakness of our flesh walk on, aren't you glad it's still a powerful cure as well? Amen. I wonder this morning, are you a follower? I wonder what distance you're following. I wonder what fire you're warming by. Are you on fire this morning? I wonder have you failed and wondered can you go on? There's forgiveness for the Lord this morning. Whatever your need of prayer is, may the Lord help you to pray. Everybody stand, please. Ever head bound. Man. Yeah, let's sing one verse at least. If you need to use your altar this morning, if you've been falling afar off, come and draw nigh. If you've been warming by the wrong fire, come this morning. If you've already failed, if you've already denied it, by your life, by your witness, by your words, by your walk, you've already denied it, won't you come?